One of the fathers of the revolution, who sacrificed everything. it may be evident about himself, including his hand, for us to be where we are today. So we are reminded of some of the things you used to say, the role of women in the revolution, the role of youth in the revolution, the role of education or intellectualism in the revolution. And there's one profound thing you also said, whilst we seek to replace the apartheid system, we must look at some of the good lessons we can pick up and refine as the South African society can move forward. So this is the Oar Tambo man. So he is our president of Tambo. We all know him, the young man from the Eastern Cape. He ended up being a teacher, and then he was a reporter. He came maybe in the other country, maybe he was moving from the country. And the man who single-handedly drafted the Harare Declaration, which was adopted by the AU without changing a comma or a full. So we are reaping the reward of those sacrifices of revolutionaries like you. This were the opening remarks as indicated there in the program, 10 o'clock, welcoming and introductory remarks. So you're welcome, all of you, ladies and gentlemen. We have a couple of these, Mr. Volpino.
Thanks, sir. Yes, sir, we have one from Honorable Khalifa, who will join the committee later, sir, because we started to do the talk, okay? And then also Honorable Victoria, who has attended the next committee meeting. So that's the one.
The Honorable Carlo is going to be quietly leaving the meeting. It will not be out of disrespect. It will not even be a sign of walkout or undermining of the committee and the department. It will be because he has to go and attend to some matters of sustainability that is going to life. So that's what he will be doing. Honorable Defrenta.
Thank you, Chair. Just apologies from Honorable Craig Cranbrook as well.
Apology accepted, Honorable Cranbrook. Those are the apologies we have. Just like we did yesterday, speaking here is the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Honorable S.O.R. Mahuma Pilo. On the, my right there, we've got the Honorable Comrade Shelima Kubera. Shelima Kubera from the province of the Rising Sun, Mpumalanga, where the battles for coal at an ideological level are taking place. We also have Honorable Peter from the Eastern Cape, where creativity is nothing impossible. Home of the Little. That's Honorable Peter. Then we have Honorable Bumba, the melting pot of everything, Gauteng. That's where she comes from. We refer to her in the committee as Honorable Bumba Bumba. If you grew up in rural areas, you know what the Bumba Bumba is and what it is. So that's what we have in the committee, Bumba Bumba. Honorable Bumba Bumba from Gauteng. Yes, specifically Johannesburg, from the Libyan region, and deployed by the African National Congress. Then we've got the Honorable T.S. T.S. is also from the home of the Libyan in the Eastern Cape, where, as I said, innovation and creativity is embedded. It's an abundance in the particular province, in whatever way. The bulk of the leadership of the revolution actually comes from that particular province. The reason why they speak English better than anyone else is because the British, through their missionaries, when they arrived in this country, that's where they started to embed some of their culture, including language. That's why they speak English better than anyone else. And then we have Honorable Motika. Honorable Motika is from the province where sometimes rain is made. In the Mpopo. The reason why the statistics of tourism might be higher in that particular province include the fact that they can make rain, and there's also pilgrimages of the biggest church in Africa called ZPC. That's why the tourism numbers statistics are so high there. He is from the economic freedom fighters, economic liberation in our lifetime. Mission German, that's the motif. And then we've got Honorable Kahlo. As we all know, Honorable Kahlo is the single soul person who has made sure that Matatia is recognized globally. As a place of people who never relent on fighting for what they think is their right. So that's Honorable Carlo. And then we've got Honorable De Freitas. Honorable De Freitas is from Gauteng. Honorable De Freitas, as we all know, is one of the most experienced members of this committee. One of the forthright members of the Democratic Alliance, which is currently working on returning to its core values, the German design is the fact. And then we have Umfowethu, Umtshana Wethu, our hooker, in the committee here, Ubaba Gumbi, the youngest frontline trooper in the tourism portfolio committee, very sharp-minded young man. He is not obsessed with ideological inclinations. What he wants is a perfection in service delivery. That's what he wants. So we have him here as the member of this particular committee. The rest of the collective on my side here our Rivocrats, the bureaucrats in the Rivocrats. they are led by Mr. Bolino here, and we have got the doctor on my right, and our ancestors and everybody else. I will be introducing them by name. Honorable Motika, it looks like before we migrate to the department, you wanted to say something. Over to you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think I must leave you away. I was born and raised in Mpopo, but since 1994, I resided in Gauteng and was in Gauteng. So I'm developed by Gauteng, not in Mpopo. So you may be not look at Gauteng to fight me.
You are happy by origin, he can be trained in the people's province of Limpopo, but he's also in the melting pot of everything, where faster trains was produced in Gauteng and everything, the melting pot of the dynamic of the African continent. That is Gauteng. Minister, my leader, my sister, I'm now going to be handing over to you to introduce your team, the minister is a member also of the National Executive Committee of the African National Congress, elected democratically without any hesitation in the National Congress, which was held 3 years ago. She's the first woman to become, if I'm not wrong, African woman to become the Minister of Tourism. And so the who are the first? Or so you are the second. Yeah, but you remain the youngest, as a new teacher, the youngest minister in that particular sector, but also you come into that sector at the time when issues of accountability to the public of South Africa has matured. Because it becomes more and more demanding, more and more sophisticated, more and more difficult. We like your energy, we like your position, we like your accessibility, we like your flexibility. For now you are approaching this particular mandate bestowed to you by the African National Congress through President Ramaphosa on behalf of the people of the Republic of South Africa, and we know that your commitment is to the Republic of South Africa's constitution, and we represent the aspirations of the people who are in the tourism sector. So we are now handing over to you, Minister, to introduce your chief. As soon as you are done with that, I will not be coming in. You must then proceed straight into whoever will be doing the presentation, like opening the month, do the presentation. Thereafter, we'll have the committee making some interventions after the presentation. All things being equal, honorable members, in Latino is a ceteris paribus. All things being equal, ceteris paribus, we should be able to round up our engagement here by lunch. So when we break for lunch at 1 o'clock, everything else would have been finalized by this collective. So that is what we will have done. My sister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So I'm and members of the committee, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues. I'm here firstly apologizing for the PM, who will split the responsibility because today is our economic cluster committee in cabinet. He is attending as I'm here. If it does manage it, he will be able to join us later. So Chair, I need to go after. I'm going to quickly request the delegation. I'm going to introduce them first, and this will be limited to the DG, the DDG, and board members and executive of the SAT. My name is Mamolo Okubai Mubani, well known as Kensan.
Morning, Chair, Minister DG, Honourable Members. My name is Ravi Nadesan. I'm the Interim Chair of South African Tourism.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister DG, Board Members. My name is Ravi Nadesan. I'm currently the CEO at the Tourism, and my day job is the CEO.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Mayor. My name is Dominic Oliva, and I'm the Chief Manager.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Member. My name is Yabonga, and I'm the Chief Manager. I'm the Chief Manager.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee, Minister DG.
Yep.
My name is Tanya McConnick.
Honourable Chair, good morning. Honourable members, Minister, Chairman of Board, Board members, I'm Daniel Russell, the Chief Quality Assurance Officer at South Africa Insurance.
Honourable Chair, my name is Mzila Kutemba Kumala, I'm the Chief
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister. My name is Ali Milan. I'm a DDG in the Department of Tourism. Part of my responsibilities is the entity oversight.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to make some remarks and therefore hand over to the Internal Chair.
I didn't think I was hit, so I
just made that. Okay. Okay, my name is Jamal Director, the Senior Audit Manager from AG.
I have my colleague there at the back.
Colleague at the back.
Good morning, my name is Katrina Swart. I'm responsible for stakeholder liaison management.
Thank you very much, Chair. As committed yesterday with the issues of in line with keeping the cost containment measure, that going forward we are going to manage our delegation so that doesn't become a decision that is bigger than the committee itself, as so the board will also consistently with the board that managed, so we'll continue to strive for that, Chair. Let me take this opportunity to thank the portfolio committee. I think we had very good discussions here for the Chair, and we got to reflect and start looking at how we improve and the recommendations that the committee has given. We already looking at that. I think it's important, one, as you go to sleep, you reflect and you realize that there's quite a lot of issues that are helping us to achieve what we want to achieve, and looking forward to this opportunity again today to be able to reflect on what we need to be able to do with our own entity as a department of South African Tourism. Chairperson, let me start with the issue of the board, which I need to members would need an update, so we wonder why we have an interim chairperson of the board and other members that are not here. In terms of the board functioning, which is the responsibility of the minister, making sure that there is a board that functions but is able to oversee the activities in the entity. I must indicate that the chairperson of the board, Ms. Yaku, offered to step down as a chairperson of the board, which as a minister I have accepted, but she remains a member of the board. She did not resign as in the board. Deputy chairperson Tanya Abramson, who members would remember that she was a chairperson of the audit committee as well, that's why he's interim in the interim chairperson is correct to say you are chair of the audit committee. She resigned from the board with immediate effect, so that resignation has been accepted by myself. In the process, chairperson was a chairperson and deputy of a board, it's not the sole responsibility of consult. So in the process of consulting with the leadership of cabinet, and therefore once it's done, I'm hoping within the coming 2 to 3 next, we'll be able to have both the chair and the deputy chair of the board that is concluded and appointed. I must say, Chair, from my side, I did have a meeting with the board last week, and I'm really encouraged by the work that they are able to do. The encouragement are fruitful,
and there's been assurance and communication that things are functioning effectively within the court level in terms of committees and the work that they need to do. The other issue I need to indicate is, remember members, when I came to Parliament when we presented our annual performance plan, at that time I confirmed that the CEO has been suspended, but at that time he has not been facing DC, and there was an investigation. Following our meeting, I did receive a final report from Bowman that was submitted to me by the board. I went through it and had recommendation. Amongst the recommendation was for the CEO to face a disciplinary hearing, which I gave concurrence after looking at the serious nature of the matters raised by the report as it described, and with the recommendation and encouraging the board to seek an independent chair so that the process is seen to be fair, which the board has since done. I think the board will speak in detail on that, the interim chair, but I am informed that the DC has started. So because it's a matter that is within the ambit of the board will be able to discuss if there are any issues there. But from my part, with the political authority and the shareholder representative, I have given a concurrence to the DC process. Now, coming to the performance chair of the entity from the side of the Minister, I did receive a report that tabled to Parliament. There are concerns in terms of performance upfront check. I would want to take responsibility for. That the performance of the entity is not where one would want to see it. As we say, we want to see at least entities and our departments performing above 80%. Yesterday I was able to say we have an A. If we are to see it on performance in school for the department, which was about 80%. With SAT, we're sitting almost around 56% check. Somebody might call it a mark of the score almost, and one has to take that responsibility and accept. This is not where an entity as critical as ours should be sitting, and we're working around the clock, both from the minister's side, the board and the staff. And I can confidently say, Chair, there are men and women at SAG who really are showing the level of commitment that one wants to be. I met them on Friday. I met the entire staff where I addressed and also asked them to give feedback, ask questions, raise issues with me. And it was evident in our interaction that the team there are really willing to work and contribute positively towards our economic growth and also towards ensuring that performance can be carried. And one of the things that I need to say, Chair, is that we take the opportunity presented to us by the new administration with us being able to put together new performance plans, new strategic plans to be able to get out of the past era, review the issues around performance, and I think the team CEO is going to speak to that in terms of our targets, how we make sure, because there's been quite good reflection. Chair, I must indicate again, as I did yesterday, that I met with the Auditor General team to brief me about, as required by the law and their processes, to brief me about the audit outcome of SAT. They did give us an unqualified audit opinion as an entity, but the major issue that has been raised is irregular expenditure. And I think both the CFO and the chair, the interim chair, are going to detail. We are looking at this matter and I've asked the board to look into it, so they are dealing with it. We'll be able to give indication in how we are dealing with it. But one of the recommendations, Chair, in terms of the report of the AG, is for Minister to investigate Mutiapo as the reported, if they receive that report. I need to indicate that for my side as a Minister, I did reach out to Mutiapo for a meeting. I've not yet been able to respect to that. But once you do, we'll be able to have a discussion and even the way forward. I will report to the committee as required in terms of my action done in terms of the recommendation of the audit, Auditor General, Chairman Auditor General's report. So that's the issue for me, Chair, in terms of this. I must be able to say that quite you can see that we've been able to close the gap. get in terms of the CFO, the position has been filled, the chief marketing officer, which is a very strategic position for us, as the portfolio it has been filled, and I'm confident that the team that is working and that we have here will be able to at least give comfort, Chair, to you and members of the committee that indeed we are taking the time, we are working, and there is hope in terms of us improving our performance. So with those few words, I want to hand over to the interim chair, premium chair, so that Mr. Ravi Nagasan, so that he can take us through just the remarks of the board, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Morning, Chair and honourable members once again. My name is Ravi. It's my first time that I'm appearing for you, so I thought it would be appropriate to announce myself. It's indeed an honour for me to be here in front of this committee, especially learning the insights of everyone and where they come from with your opening remarks, Chair. I'm the interim chair of South African Tourism. I've served on the board of South African Tourism since June 2018. I'm also the chairman of the Tourism Grading Council. And my data, I'm John Tuckstay, said that I'm the chief operating officer at Soho Sun Hotels. With regards to the 2018-2019 audit outcome, just from an overview point of view, and I'll take you through a high-level overview, and then the team will go in, through the presentation, will go into a bit more detail, and then we'll take questions, obviously, from yourselves thereafter. So South African Tourism, as you heard from the Minister, has received yet another unqualified audit outcome for the 19th year in a row. So at least four of the 19 audit outcomes were clean audits. The 2018-19 audit outcome has raised material findings with regards to the usefulness and reliability of information regarding business events, as well as material compliance findings resulting in irregular expenditure of 98.5 million, as the Minister alluded to a few minutes ago. Of this amount, 4.1 million is the opening balance carried over from the 2017-2018 financial year. With regards to this matter, disciplinary action was taken against the implicated employees regarding written warnings and in other cases dismissals. Like I mentioned, we'll expand on that a little bit more in a few minutes. The remainder of 94.3 million was due to a variation of four contracts. Now, due to the technicality of these transactions, especially the treatment of an inherent contract clause, the Auditor General had to refer this finding to their technical department to advise on the correct treatment of such transactions. So what we've done from an SAT point of view is Nomalela and her team have gone through and identifying all of the other contracts that we've got in business with a similar technical interpretation to determine whether we're exposed in any other areas. So, you know, like you mentioned, Chair, that we learn from our mistakes and we learn from our journey, and I'm trying to correct this. From a 2018-2019 performance overview, I think the Minister mentioned that she takes ownership, and I think we take ownership. We take ownership for our own performance with regards to how the entity is performing. So in the 2018-2019 year, domestic tourism performed well with an increase of 12.7% that was recorded when compared to the same period for 2017-2018. However, international arrivals declined by 6% when compared to the same period for the 2017-2018 year. This saw South African tourism achieving 15 out of its 27 targets set for the year. Okay, and we are in the process of making a significant amount of work to deal with the non-achievements of these targets. We're not happy with the percentage that the Minister mentioned, and from a board and EXCO point of view, it is high up on our agenda to make sure that we've got enough remedial actions in place to remedy this. And I just want to add that the issues that were raised in the 2018 and 2019 audit in particular, what we've done so that we don't have recurring issues. As I mentioned earlier, Sia is our new ARCO chair and is a new board member as well, and brings with him you know, quite in-depth experience from a sort of from an ARCO point of view. And what we've discussed, in fact, that we would ensure that the subcommittee meetings, particularly at alcohol level and at board meetings, that these issues that have been recurring issues are tabled so that we are periodically measuring them, and we are being more preventative in our outlook than being reactive and dealing with them at the end of an audit and then, you know, having that. So our plans to remedy this are more live than actually you know, looking at them once or twice a year. So in terms of our organizational environment, the board has filled two very critical positions. One of the chief marketing officer, you met TK, Timokomalo, a few minutes ago. And Timba brings them an old world in that he was at SAT before, and most recently with SAA, but he brings an element of freshness. He understands our industry, he's been connected to it for a long time, and it's wonderful to have a breath of freshness. And I think we have a few engagements with the committee over the next month, and one of it is where Timba will share some of his insights and some of his outlooks in terms of what this organization will do from a marketing point of view. We've also appointed Nomaledo, who will be presenting just now, in the role of CFO, and again, has already done good work, and I'm very confident that a lot of the issues that were raised, Nomaledo will put plans in place to remedy and ensure that they do not reoccur. The executive team is operating at full capacity. Now, I say that because the minister mentioned about the CEO and the suspension, and I want to assure you that this entity has got people burning the candle at both ends to make sure that the wheels are turning. Minister did an engagement with the staff on Friday, and the energy in that room was infectious. You know, it's just amazing to see that you've got a group of people from the exco down to guys sitting in those offices that are passionate about this industry and are making the wheels turn. So even though there isn't a CEO in that office, I assure you that the wheels are turning, that it is functioning, and that, you know, the exco in particular are making sure that the entity is functioning. I mentioned about the minister mentioned about the CEO. The process is underway. It resumes again in about 2 weeks' time. It is something that we want to make sure that we deal with transparently, fairly, openly, and that the process is entrenched in the principle of fairness. So that matter is underway. We are keeping the minister appraised, and we will keep the committee up to date as we progress with it as well. From a governance point of view, the term of the current board began on the 1st of June 2018, and for this reporting period in particular, as at 31 March 2018, the board had a total of 13 members who served in various committees of the board as per their diverse skills and experience. And we continue to provide oversight and guidance to the management activities with regards to the set objectives. And I should just reassure you as a committee again that, you know, we've lost two board members, four board members in the last few months. And when we've gone to the minister to say that we need this skill set to make sure that the board is functioning with the requisite skill to guide the organization, we've been found a very sort of receptive and a, you know, welcoming outlook in terms of replacing that. You know, when we said we needed somebody who's a CA, we said to the minister we needed somebody who's a CA who, you know, understands an alcohol type of environment, and, you know, we got CA. So I think from a board point of view, we're making sure that even with the two replacements that we've got now, there's skill sets that we're looking for so that the board has the skills to guide the organization properly. So, in conclusion, I would like to assure this committee that the board and the organization is committed, and it's committed to growing tourism. We understand totally that we are at the epicenter of our president's call of 21 million tourists by 2030, and to create 2 million more jobs. We are at the heart of that. We take that seriously. We hold ourselves accountable. We know that our actions drive the numbers on this. And we recognize the challenges that lie before us, but we are resilient, and we know that working together is the answer. And, you know, working together, be it with government, be it with industry, be it with private sector, we know that we will achieve this by all coming together and aligning behind the common purpose of this target of getting 21 million tourists here by 2030. So on that note, I'm going to hand over to the acting CEO and her executive team to take the committee through the detailed presentation and the performance of South African children. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members, the overview given by both the Minister and the Inquiry Chair of the Board. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the committee for an opportunity to share our performance for 2018-19. How we're going to deal with the presentation, I'm going to give the overview on issues of performance, as it relates to performance information, and then I'm going to hand over to the CFO who will take us through our financial performance as well as detail around the audit outcome and what we're doing, as the Chair alluded. From there, my other ExCo colleagues will pick up any questions that would come from the floor related to their own area of business, so that we can confirm to the Chair that we are operating in full capacity. The last time we saw the committee, we had two vacancies, like the Chair and the Minister has said. The other point that I want to raise, Honourable Chair, is that we thank the committee for the program that you've given us to come in and share in greater detail our business focus areas around the marketing investment framework, the work of the National Convention Bureau, and the work that the Tourism Grading Council does. We will wait keenly for a day to engage the committee on domestic tourism and how we can grow that further and our brand with the chairman. Moving to slide. So the content, the snapshot. The slide gives a snapshot of tourism performance for 2018-19, this is April to March, which covers the financial year. From an international tourist arrival point of view, we've seen a decline in our performance. We closed the year at 10.4 million arrivals, which basically represents a decline of about 0.0% when we compare it to our performance in 2017-18. And the required growth, you will remember, Honourable Chair, that the annual report is against the then approved 5-in-5 strategy, so we are reporting against that target. We were required to grow at 6.5% to be able to catch up with the target that we had put, was set aside for 2021. Our annual target was sitting at 11.2 and our actual is 10.4. If you look at the regions that carried the numbers, the continent carries about 70% of the arrivals into the country. We closed the year in the period with a growth of 0.5% in the continent. And if you look at the rest of the world, we're looking at about -80% decline in some of our key markets. Driving that decline is Europe. And I need to mention that Europe carries two of our what we call our bread and butter markets in Germany and the UK. Europe has been a decline of about 5.7%, with Asia carrying one of a much promising market of China. We've seen a decline of 0.7%, and Australasia 0.1%. We, however, seen a slight growth. I'm going to say growth because it's quite flat. North America grew by 1.2% and Central and South America by 3.2%. I need to mention that Central and South America is coming from a very low base. I'll move to the next slide. The next slide, this is a slide which we show the actual numbers from the regions that we have. I need to mention that if you look at the arrivals coming from all over the world, from the market in which we invest, from a revenue point of view, we have seen an injection of about 87.4 billion in 2018. We do indicate in the annual report where the market share for each and every province. So we have done a provincial market share in the annual report on page 41, which will show you what each and every province has received from an international council. Next slide. This slide communicates the headline performance when it comes to domestic tourism. Our total domestic trips, like the chair has mentioned earlier, we've seen an increase of about 12.7% when we compare to our performance in 2017-18. What is driving this performance is we've seen a substantial increase of people traveling for visiting friends and relatives purposes, which seem to have contributed to the growth in number. So the total domestic trips under the year in the year under review was 18.7 million. Moving to the right side of the slide is the domestic holiday trips. This is an area that we would like to influence in future so that we'll see South Africans taking more of holiday trips. Our annual target was sitting at 3.2 million, and we achieved 3 million of that target. If you look at the total 18.7 million domestic trips, holiday trips accounted for 16.2 of the total domestic trips. So if you look at our year-to-date in 2018, it is 14.8% better than 2017-18. We are making progress, however, the target that we have set, we were unable to move. The rest of the contribution came from other parts of domestic movement, like mine, which accounted to 0.8 million, which is 4.4%, between April and March. The next slide gives a a breakdown of the percentage change in domestic tourist trips, which is 2018 versus the previous year, so it's a year-on-year comparison. The total trips, we've seen a growth, like I mentioned, for 12.7%, the holiday trips by 14.8%, and we've seen a growth of VFR by 13.8%. You remember, honorable members, that the previous year we had seen a huge decline in the visiting friends and relative segments of our movement in the domestic space. We've also conducted a brand check within the domestic team, where we are trying to understand what are some of the reasons that people are seeing for travel. And indeed, the visiting friends and relatives remains the main reason for travel. The part of that slide shows trips to each and every province, because we'd like to see what is the market share of each province on the domestic market. Limpopo has seen a decline, however, it remains the top province where people are moving, followed by Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, and then the rest of the province. The next slide talks to our performance in terms of key performance highlights for our South African National Convention Bureau. This is our business unit that focuses on the MICE element, which is the meetings, incentives, conventions, and exhibitions. On that slide, we show the efforts that we've made in terms of submission of bids. We submit bids for to host meetings as a meeting destination. For the year under review, we've submitted 108 bids, led by the Convention Bureau, working very closely with the Provincial Convention Bureau. At the end of the financial year, we had 42 successful bids that we submitted, that were awarded to our country to host this meeting. Six of the 108 were unsuccessful, and 60, by the time we closed the year, we were still pending the outcome. What is important to note for honorable members is the regional spread that we try and push through the meeting industry. If you look at the geographic spread, Western Cape has submitted a total of 64 bids, followed by Gauteng, 25 bids, and KZN, 5 bids. The rest of the bids, which is 11, were the collaborative effort with multi-city bids, which are submitted, which I think is notable because we now begin to see smaller cities taking part in the bidding process, so meaning our capacity building efforts are yielding results. Next slide. The next slide, Honourable Chair members, speaks to just the key highlights on the performance of the Children and Brilliant Council. We closed the year with about 5,147 graded establishments. I need to mention that this shows a growth of 2% when we compare to the same period in the previous year. If you look at the, we are seeing increases in the lodges space, as well as meetings at venues, as well as hotels. So it is important for us to look at how do we then grow the base of the tourism budget establishment, because this becomes critical in terms of our marketing efforts and fulfilling the promise around quality destination. And I'm going to move straight to slide 12, because that's where it summarizes the performance for 2018-19. I need to echo the words to the Minister when she mentioned earlier that this year provides an opportunity for us to relook at our strategic plans, our APP, but also looking at how we craft our KPIs. And I need to mention that BPME has already provided a framework that will guide us to find a balance in terms of how we then balance outcome KPIs versus the output, which are activities that are within our control as an entity, but obviously the outcome and the impact that we're trying to make within the tourism industry. We've had under the period of under review, like the interim chair said, we had 27 KPIs. And out of the 27 KPIs, we have met 15 of those KPIs. I need to mention, Chair, that we have made significant progress in 8 of those KPIs which we didn't achieve. And the reason why I'm mentioning the significant progress is it actually touches on KPIs which are outcome-based, which are outside our control. So we have put a lot of effort in terms of how we push for achievement of those KPIs. I'll start with corporate support, which is the next slide. On corporate support, we met all the KPIs. I would like to highlight that the area that we didn't meet target is the BBBE level achievement. This is an area that we have to look at. And because this is the corporate support, this program provides support services to the organization, and it ensures that we have compliance with digital requirements. The second area program, which is the next slide, which I would like to highlight, is this is an area where we, this is a program that has housed the centralized research, insights and analytics, but most importantly, that's where we deal with stakeholder engagement, because we know, Chair, that with tourism, South African tourism has multiple stakeholders that we often engage with, including provinces as well as private sector. We've done a stakeholder satisfaction survey, which we didn't achieve the target. There were a couple of issues that were highlighted as areas of concern. We've taken into account, and we'll talk to it on the slide, which talks to how we improve performance going forward. Program 3, which is leisure, tourism, marketing, carries the bulk of our resources from an investment point of view, but also it links directly to what our mandate is as South African tourism. If you look at the area of leisure, tourism, marketing, areas which are of concern is around the number of international tourists, which we said we've made a significant progress. There we have not achieved the target in our overseas market, like I've mentioned earlier on the snapshot. If you look at which markets were driving that, some of the big markets we've had challenges in terms of perceptions around our brand, and this is an area which the CMO can talk to on the plans that we have put in place to work on that. Other areas that I would like to highlight, Chair, which are red, is around the total domestic trips and domestic holiday trips, which I know that it has been a matter of concern for quite some time for the portfolio committee as well.
around how do we then grow domestic tourism, because if you look at other economies that are doing well on their domestic tourism space, and are putting more effort to grow that, so that whatever happens in the global space, it doesn't affect the tourism economy. So that's another area that we didn't achieve. And the rest of them under business events, the area that we didn't achieve, this is business events, this is a work that is spearheaded by the South African Convention Bureau in the MICE element. We have put a target or a KPI around African travel industry and meeting Africa revenue. We didn't meet that target that was set of 67 million. Part of the things that drove the non-achievement was the shift in days, particularly for African travel industry, due to being an election year, so we had to shift those days. We've seen a lot of some of the exhibitors falling off, as well as biases who could not get to that revenue. The last program is the tourist experience, which is the work of the grading council. I've mentioned earlier when I gave the highlights that we have seen a 2% growth year on year. However, we have not met the target of the grading accommodation establishment, as well as graded rooms and revenue that is collected. In our engagement, the Chief Assurance Officer will take us into detail what we're doing to change the form, to change the form in terms of performance. I'm going to move straight to slide 21. Slide 21 begins to give the comments in terms of the remedial action that we put in place as an entity to address issues of or areas of non-performance. Under corporate support, we are now focusing more on enterprise supply development and socio-economic development. So we have an integrated approach where we're looking at tourism businesses, but also we're looking at other businesses from a supply chain point of view. As part of our own performance scorecards, we put these KPIs to the performance contracts of the credited, so that we begin to push performance. On the second one, on stakeholder satisfaction score, we are in the process of putting together a stakeholder framework, which will be presented to the board in November. But also importantly, we have a dedicated resource that has been allocated to manage all the stakeholder relations, both from government and industry. We have seen some improvement because we do engage with provinces as well as private sector. Under leisure tourism, which is the biggest problem, which relates to our mandate, on the number of international tourists, we did come back to the portfolio committee beginning of the financial year with what we call the supercharge for faster time. That was the direct response for our 2018 performance. We looked at what is it that we need to do to turn things around from an international tourist point of view. We've identified certain markets which we really need to drive for this financial year. Those certain markets, some of the things that we'll be looking at is how do we focus on first-time business, looking at also repeat visitors who carry a lot of weight because they help us with our brand, because they speak positively about our brand, because they do come back. The other area that we're focusing on as part of our turnaround or our remedial action is special interest groups, be it within the golf sector, be it African Americans in the US market, be it the LGBTQI community. We're focusing on those because we feel that there is an opportunity for us to grow the numbers in those specific markets that are engaged. The other thing that we did from an international point of view is to partner with private sector, where we went into the roadshows into some of these markets to understand from our trade partners what are some of the things that are stopping them from selling South Africa, that's one. But secondly is how do we grow the business, at least the 10% part of the business, to ensure that we catch up in 2019-20. On percentage brand awareness achieved, we now have appointed a CMO. Part of the things that he will be doing is to look at how do we then re-energize our brand from a tourism point of view. But most importantly, how do we come up with a refreshed brand campaign, aligning it to relevant media channels, to take our brand out there for people to now have changed perceptions around South Africa as a tourism destination. On domestic tourism, for 2019-20, we have now focused on the VFR market. In the VFR market, what we are doing is communicating to the VFR segment issues of day trips, because we do believe that there is an opportunity with day trips, because it drives a lot of revenue, but also it's easy to convert to holiday trips once people have now engaged on leisure activities. We also have looked at how we strengthen our short left travel week, wherein we put the country to sale to drive those sales from a domestic point of view. The last few areas of business events with Indaba and Meeting Africa, we in order to improve our SME performance in the event, we have decided that we're going to remove collecting revenue but rather subsidize SMEs to encourage participation of small players in the business and so that we can give them market access, because we've invited the world to come to South Africa, so that we believe that that is a special market access platform for our SMEs to gain traction in terms of international business and domestic business. From a tourist experience point of view, the Trading Council has launched an integrated marketing and communications campaign, which started in 2018, and we are focusing on driving the value of star grading to both consumer and the trade space. We also looked at other ways, from a technology point of view, to drive partnerships. For example, we had a partnership with Waze, where we also added brand awareness around the value of grading, and also communicating to the consumer the importance of looking at graded establishments and staying at graded establishments. Over and above that, we also hosted national roadshows for members and stakeholders, where we launched our new criteria in February and March in 2019. We have seen great participation where when we look at the impact that it would make, we believe that the 2% will be able to actually increase the number of graded establishments or the percentage of the uptake of grading as an offering to our trade. And so from that, that's what our performance is looking like. I will hand over to the CFO to take us through the areas of finance.
Thank you, Chair. The first item in finances is the review of our audited balance sheet. So it talks to our solvency and liquidity ratio. The audited balance sheet concerns that our assets are going to be concerned, which means that our assets are more than our total liability. It also concerns that we are able to meet short-term obligations, which means that our current assets are more than our current liability. The next slide is an assessment of the income statement, but it's demonstrated the program. I can confirm that the trend is similar to what we presented to you before. What is different from, and there were no material audit adjustments, and that has been confirmed by the AG. Therefore, the information that was presented in quarter four is not materially different from what I'm presenting now. From an investment perspective, we still spend more than 85% of our funding on marketing activities, both international and domestic. And the other funding is related to corporate support, business enablement, as well as visitor experience. What I would like to highlight on the slide is that I've isolated that cash item just to illustrate that we did not exceed our budget book. And in the bottom right, I've explained the difference between the amount that's in the annual report and what is showing on the slide, less 9 items. So there are judgments that are taken into account on this night and all the nine such items that we have to the measure of 50 million rand, which relates to depreciation, which is a nine such item. It also relates to unrealized foreign exchange losses, which are nine such items, and that's a factor of, or the result of us converting our financial records in country to now really consolidate our financial information for audit purposes. And so if you take the 50.7 million rand NASDAQ item, add it to the surplus of 1.3 that I'm showing on the table, then you'll reconcile back to the information that in the annual report will take into account both cash and NASDAQ items. And then this slide deals with the two methods of the audit report. Our audit chair had already touched on the three significant methods. We will assess on financial performance, our business performance, as well as the compliance. The AG assesses to be effective, or to have effective control in the area of financial performance, as well as human resource management. The key areas of concern were in the performance information space, which related to the useful and reliability of the KPI in the business event environment. And there were also material findings that related to non-compliance with national trade regulations, resulting in the disclosure of the regulated expenditure of 28 megatons. And I'll explain that, I'll break it down in the next slide. The other key matter that affected the audit report, which was the third one, was the investigation into the CEO, who was highlighted as a matter of emphasis in the audit report. And then on the regular expenditure, what is disclosed on note 23 of the annual financial statement is the regular expenditure to the amount of 98 million. 4 million of which relates to the previous financial year, so the opening balance in the year under review, and which has been dealt with when through an investigation, there was disciplinary action and action of taking against any employees that were affected. So on the side. And then in the current year, the regular expenditure disclosed for the current year is 94 million rand, which relates to, all four incidents relate to content variation. The biggest one relates to our lead agency, about 91 million of the total irregular expenditure disclosed relates to lead agency. The balance of 2.7 million relates to three different contracts, about the teaching contract, security contract, as well as the PR agency, but the reason for the irregular is the same for across all four transactions because of the nature of contracts. And then remedial action, because this was confirmed in the current year, so similar, we've got a similar process as what we've done in the previous financial year. In fact, what was important with this one, because of the technicality, was to review our entire population. Identify if there are other contracts in the system that have a similar clause so that we can start preventing and not extend without getting the necessary approval from treasury. And identify the ones where we've exercised the clause and are therefore legally obligated to act in terms of the contract. Quantify those and dispose them accordingly. So that process is done. Where we are with the process is we have now reached into internal audit for investigation so that we can take it through to the disciplinary action based on the reasons from the audit.
Thank you, CFO. The next slide, honorable school members, talk to the vacancies. If you look at our organizational performance on corporate support programs, we have closed down the vacancies, so we've maintained the 7% which was our target because we don't want to exceed that 7% vacancy rate. It's something that we closely monitor. Similarly to the next slide, which talks to compliance with Employment Equity Act, on October 1, it's an area that we achieved the Employment Equity Plan being submitted on an annual basis to the Department of Labor as the national deadline, so we have achieved that target. From a governance point of view, the interim chair has already spoken to the effectiveness of the board, but on slide 32, we give an overview of governance. You know, we're scheduled 3A public entity established in terms of the Act, of the Children Act, to market the destination from a leisure and a business event point of view. Some of the issues that we raised there is the things that the interim chair has covered. The only thing notable is that we've got four subcommittees that help the board to fulfill its role. We've got a marketing and commercial committee. This is a committee that looks at what we do from a leisure point of view and from a business event point of view, and the work around making sure that from a visitor experience the destination is ready. We have a human capital and remuneration committee that deals with everything internal, and that relates to how we remunerate and reward staff. And the third one is the audit and risk committee. And the fourth one is the Tourism Grading Council of South Africa Awards Committee, where in, we do the assessment of the establishments that have applied. Slide 33 gives the committee a sense of all the board attendance, and for committee to note that. We also have included board remuneration details, which is in line with what Treasury takes in terms of payment of non-executive directors of board of public entities. Chair, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll hand over back to the interim chair to
we'll hand over back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, I see interim chair. I'm correct. I see interim chair. And then let's see for the presentation. We are now going to take members of the body responsible. The Constitution of the Republic is responsible for oversight to do necessary engagements, observations, suggestions, interrogations, whatever posture we want to take. But embedded in that, we must tell the collective, you know that we are agents of the reciprocative oversight model in this community. So we'll start on the right, extreme right, the Honorable Kumbi.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation that was made. I don't have many questions, but I would just like to ask if, and I don't know if the new Chief Marketing Officer wants to unpack it a lot, but if 80% of your budget is spent on destination marketing, what exactly do you market when you say destination marketing? Do you market South Africa as in its entirety across a number of different platforms? Do you market towns and cities? So do you see it as towns and cities compete against other towns and cities around the world? Do you market specific public or private assets which you believe necessarily bring tourists to South Africa? So what exactly do you market in that? Because there's obviously different ways in which you can market that, and if that's the bulk of your money spent, I'm highly interested in necessarily that strategy. For instance, I did an oversight to the Bluff area in Durban. Now the Bluff area in Durban, they just won recently International Whale Heritage Site, and I think South Africa is going to collect that status in Australia sometime this upcoming week. Now, that's an area where tourists have been coming there for previously for many, many years to come watch whales, there are whale viewing decks, etc. And over the years, there's something necessarily that has not been that has not been focused on. So a city such as Durban and Durban Tourism, and I know some of the guys who work that side, they've often tended to focus necessarily on events which attract people to the city, perhaps local tourists to the city, and that's been their core strategy. Now in that area you have the local tourism organizations pushing to say that, you know, this is the formal sustainable way. We have got something specific and unique to the area which is good for tourists, and we want to build that platform, because what you know, international tourists, we have a festival every year, maybe 7,000 people come there. I would like to know, for instance, when something like that pops up, what perhaps would be the involvement of South African tourism? Just in a case like that. And I'm just using that as a test case to see how exactly you would interact in something specifically of that nature.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions. The presentation I saw in the report as well talks about how the overseas market has underperformed. What are we doing to counter that? We know we've got maybe some image issues and all that kind of thing, but we need to kind of push through that noise. So is there a plan to do to kind of counter that? And then I've seen a presentation as well about domestic tourism. And it's clear to me that the different entities aren't talking to each other. And I'll give you an example. I see that for the month of October, all people in South Africa can go up Table Mountain for 90 rand as opposed to 300 odd rand normally. And no one knows about this. Now, I know it's not the department or it's not SAT, but surely we should be, this entity should be working with these other entities to promote this kind of tourism. No one, you know, I just haven't come across this fact. It hasn't been marketed, it hasn't been... So again, points to the fact that these various entities, sand parks, etc., are working on their own, and they don't seem to talk to each other. Now, I can promise you that if South Africans or Cape Townians or anybody in the city were aware that they could go up a Table Mountain, which normally you wouldn't go if you couldn't afford it, and you could go for 90 rand, I think you'd have a boom. So I'm asking that, and Chair, I want to suggest that we actually monitor the site, that the different entities get to talk to each other, and that the tourism entity should be using this as a leverage to grow our local tourism. All my other questions, all my other issues are answered in the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let us welcome the presentation from SAT. And let us also welcome the ATs. Chairperson, I think some of the issues yesterday we were dealing with them yesterday. So we are beating Minister Tori. Not fair sometimes. But she is strong enough to observe. Alright. Thank you, Chairperson. Let's start with the issue of SA NCT performance 2018-2019. Just then I'm looking at the regions, the golden regions, the provinces that are submitting the fee. Western Cape, Gauteng, KZN. Where the big cities are. And I'm saying this just to highlight an issue that this Sikh Parliament this committee. The focus, you must know, the focus, so that when they do their APT, they must know that the focus is village, township, and small cities. And I know a lot of things, infrastructure, everything are in this city, and it is easy and it takes them time to do what we say. But we want them to put money where the community is safe. Whatever we are concluding here, they must put money on it. And putting money on it, meaning when they must draw the APTs, APTs will be followed by money. So the focus should shift a little bit. We will forgive you, this is historical anymore. But we cannot all the time take things to housing, take things to not exactly housing, all of it is inspired. We're talking about the big cities where things are. And even in the Western Cape, doesn't mean the whole Western Cape is fine. You know how it's in China and other areas where Usha is invested. And we know in cases then the far rural cases then it seems that it is not part of them, you see. So the whole picture must be changed from where we are going forward. Meaning the next report won't tell us about the same cities again. So that's what we're going to fight. Today we are not fighting because we're talking history. Okay, Chairperson. Can I ask the minister, what is leading to this resignation of Chairperson of the board, Deputy Chairperson, and all that? We must know. We must know so that even the acting ones, when they become the real ones, you must know whose ones left and let them leave you to 1, 2, 3. So they must never repeat what others have done. The overall performance, key performance, that Chairperson is 15 out of 27. 56% is not good. Maybe it can be good in your matric class or something, but 56%, yes, it's money. We talk money, we talk real issues. It's not about passing faith. So 56% is failed about SAT, it's failed, to us it's failed. So you must go and improve it because we're not going to tolerate that next time. The international trips have dropped by a little bit, but it's a matter of concern. Same as the domestic trips. So it seems able to decline. It's a little margin, but it's declined. Take an example about Limpopo that is on top there because of Moria and other things, as I was corrected the other day. But the other day, Minister, remember, I was saying, who is going to Limpopo to put them on top there? Because the imagination out there is when we talk tourism, we're talking about those who are coming from overseas. We didn't know that when I'm visiting Kafubai in Dihan and then spending some money there in a bar about my trust. We didn't know. And living over also. I didn't know I'm a trust. So now we know all the Moria people are traveling Bolobwa. Okay. So it is a matter of concern, even if it's still on top, but the decline. What is the cause of the decline? Because if you can check, all new cases and open cases in the world have little increment in the sub percentages. And arrest, all of them are declined. So we must check why. One of the reasons, although I'll make an example about cases and as what is mentioned, that is just a reason. One of the reasons can be the situation that we found at home. No one can visit that area. Or suppose. No one, for why? There's nothing good. Very dirty, this, and I mean, there's nothing good. There's only one good space there, the one of Mr. Manui. Very clean, number one, spot on. But our tourist guide, our guide, never wanted to take us there. But we bulldozed and we just went there. And we found a very good thing. Otherwise, we were going to come back saying the whole is going to be out, totally out. But we found a very good space there. So, and the other area that may cause this decline is that Mbobomeni place. That place is beautiful, Minister. It's very beautiful. Problem, there's no fighting. Our poor people are feeding it, are doing everything, but the day they get tired for doing something that is not doing anything, it will be die like others. They will be paid and so forth. But I'm telling you, that leadership there, they deserve to be commended. It's very good that area. But the best thing is, they said the funding has been cut. They don't have anything, no resources at all. So Minister, please take your time and with anything that's done. That area, when we go there, we must be proud of it. We are proud, but we want to be more proud when we see it's a local thing there. Because we have spoken to people who are willing to work there, but they can't get it, that there is no resources. There is my last short session on the issue of the stakeholders are not satisfied. But what have we done about it? Not Trump, just a minor. The target was between 3 and 4. And then we achieved minor 12%. If the stakeholders are not happy, what have you done about it? Because you don't have any problems without satisfying who you are with whom. You don't need any progress. Finally, on the last one, Chairperson, is the issue of money. Let's talk money. I know we fought yesterday and then we can't fight again and again. But the issue of money, we hear that dismissed some people, we hear the DO is going to consider action and all that. What about the recovery? What about the recovery? We're talking millions here. We're talking millions. 94 million or 91 million is a lot of money. That's too much. That's too much. This department and the NGT, they got less little funding from the government. The same they treat it just like sports. They are the less funded. So if we still have the regular expenditures and all, we know the regular doesn't always mean stolen, but in some cases, people deviate from regulation so that they can open the room to speak. So it's a gate, it's open a gate to theft. So, to stop that, we must dismiss, arrest, and recover. Because immediately we dismiss, it means the person found guilty within. So now for an open case, these people must be arrested. We want all these to be arrested. So that the new ones, the coming ones, are can learn, oh, you touch them, you are gone. You are gone. And I think if you don't do that, it will be like, they are about to reach you through this way. So we have been also doing it and enjoying my life. So it must never happen. Let's address this. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, all. Let's welcome the presentation by SAT. I've got just a few just to start where the minister landed, because the minister took responsibility of whatever that went wrong and also promised us that corrective measures are in place or will be put in place to correct whatever. So when somebody takes the responsibility, we have that hope that come next financial year, nothing will be wrong. Let's come to the issue of the board. I think my plea to the minister is, as much as we understand that it's her prerogative to report, but the point that I want to make is, whenever recruitment is made, it must reflect South Africa. At least we must say that the recruitment has been done last year. Where you see board members in the trading, at least it should reflect South Africa. And minister, we hear that there are those that have resigned, there are those that are still there. But I think you need to come closer to the board to detect whatever that is there, so that we don't continue recruiting. If you have a board, it must function, it must finish its step. If there is nothing wrong, if there is something wrong, you correct what is wrong. Coming to the performance, we say out of 27 targets that they set for themselves, 15 were met. I'm not sure, but I think of a proposal to say, what if during your planning session, before you present APPs to budget, you have a budget that's going to audit those targets that you set the first to see if the targets are smart? Because sometimes it is not wise to put something as your performance area or to set yourself a target. Something that is outside, don't get outside the control, and put that thing as your target. Some things that you put in your APG, I think you just see that this one is not achievable. But it is. You set that as your target. Maybe I propose that something must happen between planning stage, but before presenting APPs to Parliament. Something, there must be an activity, even if it's audit of the targets or whatever, but something must happen then. Coming to the issue of quality assurance, I have a question there. Where does that function of quality assurance, where does that function reside? Because if it's in another department, it means you must have talks with that department, so that we must continue to say these ones, the whatever performance with regard to grading. I need to know where does that function reside of quality assurance. There was also something, I'm not sure whether with you or with the department, where it was stated that sometimes there are staff members that are doing business with the entity or whatever. I'm not sure whether it was within you or if it's not you, I'm sorry. Maybe it's in the other committee who are participating in more than one committee here. But I think Minister Yod is to stabilize the board because a lot of the department's budget is with this entity. It's your only entity. If you stabilize the board, they will work in the manner in which you want them to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation by the department. And Chair, I only have a few questions, but also would like to support the view of Honourable Member Motika of Mpopoma. Mpopoma, which is one of the tourist attraction areas it used to be before, and that it still has the potential to grow and ensure that tourism is still very interesting in that area in Hong Kong. And Chair, I'm just wondering if we are doing or the department is doing enough to market small businesses, especially those who are in tourism. I remember during the good days, I'm not sure if we still have those good days, because I used to be one of those participants in those days, when there was ITB, I even mentioned it, which is the International Tourism Exhibition in Berlin, where there was WTM, I even mentioned it last time in London, where there is Indaba in Berlin. But also, I'm not sure if the department is taking advantage of a very big show, which is the Red Show, where it's a show where we can showcase our products in tourism, or tourism in South Africa. And it's also one of the biggest markets, I think, which we can explore. I'm happy to hear, I was very excited to hear that Mr. Ravi is, has been also, who is now the interim chair of FAG, to say that he was also a member of a CEO of the Tsohosa. I'm not sure if this is still happening, whereby the Sukhufan has the strategy or South African Tourism Authority consulted Sukhufan to ensure that they uplift those small businesses, which are the PMPs, and ensure that they adopt them in ensuring that you take them with to uplift those small businesses. And Chair, I would be very much happy to see the change in terms of categories of the ETEA winners. Let me talk about ETEA, which is the Entrepreneur Tourism and Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year. Emerging Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year. Categories being differently categorized because I've seen what makes tourism not to grow and also marketing tourism not being fair to some of the small and small businesses. You normally match Apple and PF
those who are doing this work, you find them competing with guest houses, which is something very, very different. So I would really appeal that maybe you review your category so that you encourage others to do best where they are able to do best. And also in your marketing shows, you now concentrate and take Dorothy rural businesses and township businesses to go to that level of building in Lava and WTN so that we improve our Dorothy businesses, township businesses, as well as rural businesses. Let's not only concentrate on the upmarket area, but also on the ones that this committee is recommending. I've seen your also employment equity and people's disability. I don't think they're very big covered. I'm not sure if that is how you are doing things, but if I'm not right, please forgive me, but I know that people with disabilities need to be also given an opportunity in terms of job opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, we adjusted 5 months in the office, but one, you know, I appreciate the fact that the leadership of the minister seems to bear some fruits in terms of bringing cohesion and stability within the organization and its entities. So that is very much appreciated, and I'm sure the entities themselves will take advantage of that and make sure that at least they do think right this time around. We just come from Pietermaritzburg State, so this is my honorable just alluded to. The area, of course, Howick, it's a dorpy that I believe itself needs some attention from government. Let alone the fact that the attention must be focused in open meaning, but if our government does not look after these small towns, they will just die eventually, you know, to the national debt. Now, for 2018-2019 financial year, tourism did well, but I just wanted to check domestically. I just wanted to check which of the African countries that at least were, you know, were outstanding in terms of the offering one. But also, my question is, we just had incidents of attacks on the foreign nationals. Did we experience some a knock on that in terms of maybe bookings being, you know, turned down because of that incident? Was there a program from our side, from the hotels, just to allay fears, you know, for those who were already, you know, ready to come and visit? And so I've noticed on page 7, trips to each province, I'm concerned about Eastern Cape, trips 2017-18, 10%, but 18-19, 9%, that really comes out on that one. And of course, the Northern Cape, that seems to stand on 2%. Are we doing something to try and encourage provinces to try and improve such situations? Then the triple B targets not achieved. That's one area that cannot be, you know, affected. So, social, economic, you know, contribution or transformation is one area that we want to push as government. especially social responsibility initiatives. And if it's said that that has failed due to change in the calculation, I wish that would not happen again, because that talks to poor planning sometimes, or somebody being lazy or feeling so heavy. Now, there is also a deviation on page 17. I hope there were compelling reasons for such deviation that they made. And of course, hopefully there is a plan to avoid such situations going forward. But I would appreciate if at least one could elaborate more in terms of the plan or remedial action, you know, that is to be taken as far as that is concerned. And the last chair from my side is now, it's about the fruitless and irregular expenditure. Yeah, the irregular expenditure. Were you not aware of the requirement that before you can extend an approval must be sought from the national treasurer? I mean, we've been there for some time. I don't think it's something that has us. Most you were not aware, and if yes, what are you doing to make sure that that does not happen again? Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chairperson. My questions are only with regards to the audit outcomes of the entity. First, I want to want to welcome the interim chair of the board in the entity, but also raise just as a concern when the chair was giving his opening remarks, he just mentioned the number of years that the entity has also been getting unqualified audit opinions. I thought he would make an emphasis on the two previous outcomes, so those two previous outcomes of the audit opinion, where one is not good at all, they were showing a regression. In the 2017-2018 financial year, the entity had issues of concern, it regressed. Even this audit opinion for this financial year is also had a regression, meaning that the entity is moving into the red. So I thought, as much as you mentioned that for the number of years that the entity was getting audit opinions, you would emphasize the fact that the two previous financial years were not good at all. The second one is the issue relating to the contract management that the CFO mentioned around the issues of extending contracts without seeking approval. I've heard you correctly when you said there are consequence management, and we have started an investigation into looking into irregularities. And then those that are found to be have acted improper with regard to food. Can have Chairperson, through the Chairperson, we just give a report, because we know that when contracts are extended without seeking approval, that is close to where there are loopholes and there are corruption activities that are happening. People give it deliberately, so, you know, instead of taking a contract for tender, they will break the contract and pay 250,000, even if they know that the contract was supposed to be 500,000 or a million. They would break it up into the compartments that would allow it not to go out for tender. So also extending a contract, knowing very well that you need to seek approval, is also linked closely to corrupt activities. Thank you. perhaps, Chairperson, if we can be given that forensic investigation on that internal investigation on and then you can also, through the Chairperson, give us what are the consequences that have been taken with regards to that. Because it's not just a simply okay to say you've now put in systems, you are investigating. We need to understand that there need to be consequences for wrongdoing in the public sector. And until people understand that if my actions are this way, there will be consequences. It means we will not be dealing with the root causes of corruption. And then my last question speaks to also the audit opinion around the issues of this. The auditor general raised a concern to say the conventions bureau are not able to quantify and tell us the number of participants in this deal, which they find joint agreement with companies that are conducting or are bringing the event to South Africa. Perhaps also to understand that in their corrective measure, is there a process where perhaps let them report and through you to say they need to be closed inside the MOU or the contract that you signed, say these companies should actually be able to give you the number of participants that would be in participating in those what you call a meeting, so that we don't just leave it to say you are not able to get that information because you are not the rightful owner of the event, but you are in partnership or you signed a contract with. And perhaps to say in the contract that you are going to sign moving forward, you include a clause that says you need to collect them, so that we understand and see the value for money. I'm saying this because we've seen that the Conventions Bureau has performed very much in the previous years, and we commend you for that. But however, when the Auditor General raises issues of concerns around how you conduct your business and how you report your successes, we should also now put in measures to ensure that you comply with various legislation as you conduct your business. And then that was my last question. Comrade Chair, I would also just want to apologize because I need to go out. My daughter's school has been calling me through a landline, so I can't tell them to send a message. I don't know what they are calling me. I'm just hoping to do something that will distract me. But I just need to go out and help and take the
We take this opportunity to thank members of the Portfolio Committee for the engagement. Oh, you're talking.
I think the first one, Chairman, is to acknowledge the support that we are getting from the Minister for all the time. So it's one of two meetings where she has not honored for attending our meeting. We wouldn't have to some Portfolio Committee to realize that other ministers are not on hand. It's important. We need to acknowledge that. And we hope that you will retain it. There are times where we are not in the community just for a moment and then we join in the group of people who are taking work of the society and we need to appreciate. The first question, Chairperson, is to add to my colleague. What was the reason for the shepherd resigning in the board as a chair? But she resigned and she wants to remain as a member of the board. Why she will not be able to perform her responsibility as a chair? And then she can remain the member of the party. I don't want to make an example of what another party. For example, the design is any country again. So. The second issue, Chairperson, is the non-performance of the entity, which is below 54%. And we always investigate for people where we've committed errors of suspecting that there was some corruption, but we are not acting on non-performance. I think the time has come that we must now act on the non-performance. People must be charged for non-performance. For people not meeting their own targets. You go to a strategic meeting. You put your own target. Out of 27, you only achieve 12. There is not a chance. Not a chance. It's normal. It seems that you are at the stage. To undermine the rules of the game. And as much, all what will happen will be said, you know, we have developed an action plan in line with the recommendation of the Auditor General. And these are things that we are doing. But internally, CEO does not act, the chairperson and the board does not act. It's only when people you suspect that there was corruption. And that is the challenge in this past sector. We would only act when you suspect that there was corruption. And then that time is only you act. And I don't think chairperson in term chair. Because if you look on the expenditure, a lot of money from the department goes to the entity. So, where they must be performing is in the entity. Then the department will. But if the entity is not performing well, definitely that there will be no way that it will have a performance of the department. So we need to fix the entity. We must also welcome Chair that the CFO has been appointed, another manager has also been appointed. Let's welcome. But I'm still not taking in the manner which is Minister, there has been progress, the charge sheet has been armed, but this issue of not analyzing the issue of the freedom. For me, there will never be any stability in the organization.
You know, as an organization where you have people who are acting are unable to take the decision. They are afraid. You are afraid of taking the decision. Well, you are not sure whether by taking the decision, whether those decisions will not come back to you, and you are not sure whether if you are a human being, there will be a time where you also want to apply. That position, and you have committed a minor mistake, and then you're not given an opportunity to be a CEO. So this matter must be finalized, Chair. And I hope this independent person that has been appointed, the process of the DSC will not take time. Yes, there are other things which are out of your control. You're responsible, you charge, and you come with big lawyers, and the delay, and all of this. But there must be, this matter must be finalized. Now, in the administration, they are beginning to disturb it. Now, there is another challenge now in the board. Other people resign. So the minister, when she's trying to make sure that the stability in the administration of the entity, now the challenge now, because we were given commitment by the board in the last election. The board said, no, we will finalize it. Now they are the one who are resigning. They're the ones now who are part of the problem. So there's a challenge of leadership. And you know, in all the entities, you know, the spouse would always also tell them, always say, you know, the challenge is leadership. You get a disclaimer in leadership. People are not giving leadership to some of the community. So when people are now appointed in the board, they must really, I'm not sure, to really make serious commitment, whether or not drop them into the board in the next election. People must finish that. Because if you apply, you want to be a member of the board, and there is a term in your application, whether it's 5 years, I'm not sure, in the end, whether it's 5 years, but people must finish their term. Well, because we are talking about the last financial year, you will not be able to account about the new financial year, about all the commitments, which is some of the input which is already by the committee. There are the rulers, managing the rulers, and managing the township, and then again, you need to sustain again your city. We are not saying when you have the four government also. Your small town and your villages and your small town, we are entering into that, the city. We are not saying that. I don't think that must be interpreted, but we are saying our city must be undermined. We are saying we just keep supporting them, but there must be an effort on your township, your tourism, and your village. And then in the next report of 2019-2020 is when that time we will be getting the feedback whether there were any programs which were put and whether there has been support from the entity. But the office of the minister now, this time, every quarter on the non-performance, there must be an action. Because the first quarter, it will indicate whether you are going to achieve your plan. Your first quarter. And the second quarter will tell you that this team is not going to be able to achieve all what they have planned. And then they can be in your performance agreement. Then the minister or the chairperson of the board can then focus on the performance of the CEO and the team. But if you are not going to achieve all this
performance, we will act chaperone. And we are not going to accept again in the new financial year where the, I think, minister, people must get clean air audit. Must get clean audit. It's what we want. We want clean audit. You now have a CFO. You now have everybody in the management. Now the only challenge is the CEO. Yeah, CEO. All those things, what?
CEO.
Yes, fine. It's fine, but we want clean audit. We can't all the time, people, they don't perform their responsibility, and the minister, she's expected to go to parliament and explain for the non-performance, and always, in case she keeps explaining. You know, when you are performing well and people are getting clean audit, you walk tall in those corridors, that your department is performing anyway. And then the minister will be dismissed by the president that you are not performing, you are a bad minister. And then the director general and the CEO and the chairperson of the board will come and welcome a new minister. Nothing must stop. In fact, before the minister is fired for non-performance, I will fire the director general, I will fire all the people in the before I'm established and before I'm fired by the president. So people must know now, moving forward, that we want people to work together, we want people to perform, we want to make sure that people understand the complaints from our people, that our people are no longer going to accept the lower standard. They want a better performance. Chair, I can, it's my own view that indeed the minister should try and the team and even the department, the director general, and the report that we got yesterday, they are beginning to try, and you can see the report that we are getting from the entity. But light in the time, but we want more performance from the entity.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Khalifa. Okay, Honorable Kumba.
I would also like to help the record of the appraisal system which the department has. Remember the performance management system that is in the department, because it is very much important to check the appraisal system and who is supposed to get appraised for the job well done in the system, and compare it with the results and the outcomes of the financial year performance statement.
For the entity.
For the entity and even yesterday's group, I don't know about it. The
department.
Thank you.
The department.
Okay.
PMT Act. PMDS. Okay, I think that's all I need to introduce. What you do on the left hand side, you do on the right. That's allowed, and I don't know about it. That's not what I allow you.
Yeah.
Over to you. Maybe you allow this. I think, you know, some of the things you can't remember, you do follow up, because we forgot them all.
The issue of grading, you know, is one of the stumbling blocks for the new entrants, the new entrants to the market. Because people say it's too expensive. Hence, some of them, they do it once, and then later on we just reserved one in case that can machine again, maybe it's going to jeopardize that business. But we just reserved one with an expired rating certificate. So it means people can sustain that thing. You must have a way of opening your market for the poorest of the poor by either subsidizing it or giving them exemption. Sometimes when you say rural or what, it's easy to say, but for them to come in and then you require some certain, the requirements become expensive for them and all that, must have a way to open for them. If it needs special exemption, let it be for those people. And the other thing, I'm more on the transformation thing. The last thing chapter 7 is the requirement for marine colony market the ocean economy. Thanks very much for a good read. Ocean economy. I've had through the English community that there is a requirement for you to have 1.5 million in your account before you can you can buy a boat or something like that. You can't buy a boat if you don't have that 1.5. What does it mean? It means the poor people are not allowed. The sector is only for the rich. And when we talk in terms of South African situation, it means only white people are allowed. It can't happen. Because previously advantaged are mostly white people. So it means that the economy, that kind of sector is for the white people. You can't say I was at 1.5 million. As an MP, I don't have it. What about other people out there? So that's the money to scrap money. It goes to the apartheid era. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, for the engagement with the South African scholars. The chapter 10 in the interview, one of the things you have agreed to in the committee is that we will set aside some time to engage with the grading culture. So you must just expect that at some point we may want to see this in that area. Your team to discuss issues of grading and how they impact both positively and negatively on tourism and entrepreneurship development, not just tourism, entrepreneurship development in tourism. So I'm just strengthening the point raised by Honorable Motika and another member who raised that particular point. I will make some questions and proposals at the same time. The first question is on this variation of 15% without permission from the treasurer, whether it has been an occurrence or it was for the first time. If it happened in the past, how did we deal with it? Because in the exclusion of the last 2 years, the audit has been okay. That's the first one. The second question is on the marketing. Do we make provision and how do they play that role? The provinces and the municipalities in marketing the entire South Africa as one brand, with different components in it and degrees of provision of services related to tourism. The third is on collaborative marketing initiatives. Other than the private sector, who else do we cooperate with to drive aggressively the marketing of South Africa as a destination of
of choice. I know there are other bodies internationally that you're working with, other state problems, and then so I just want to check if other than those there are other people that we are collaborating with, or bodies or institutions. A bit of a controversial one here, it might make some people uncomfortable. It's more or less like the ZCC event. One of the biggest events we have every year in South Africa is on January 8th of every year. It's one of the big, big events that attract people. The whole world is interested in how we celebrate that. And so next day is the 108th year of the ANC. I don't see it carrying anywhere. You see, because it's a political party related event. But what I know is that for 2 weeks in advance, there are South Africans and other Africans who migrate to a particular location where the event is taking place. It doesn't look like we are interested in those numbers. And for me, those are tourists, just like the ZCC ones are going to Moria. We don't say, you know, other churches, the Methodist church, my church will complain, we just put the stairs on the ZCC. So we, the Methodists, the West Church, we don't complain when we see ZCC be used as an example of how to grow forests. So it is officially and those who are in the Roman Catholic Church and other churches have got no qualms with it. So I don't think there will be qualms with just getting the numbers of people who are going to this big historical event every year. It's guaranteed that it's going to take place. What are the numbers? People going there, so so you're just looking at the numbers, not who. That's just the numbers. It's just an effect. All right? January. Now, supercharged 5.5. I know it was recently refined, but I don't know whether you've got a preliminary signs as to whether we are turning in the right direction, as far as that's concerned, so that we can quickly, from the beta stage of the strategy, be able to detect whether this is going to help us arrive at our strategic objective. The monitoring of the grading councils of the establishment, who is monitoring the grading council itself? Is monitoring is there some peer review mechanism, policy related there, because that is their work and so on. But we will engage more with that when we meet them. So I'm just initially throwing the ball into your court. South Africa's current has not been doing very well, almost consistently for some time. The ranks against other currencies. Is there a strategy from a marketing perspective? Because it means coming to South Africa is cheaper during that period. Is there a strategy as a marketing body to monitor the behavior of the rand, to anticipate the behavior of the rand, and work out immediate to short-term measures on how those periods of sluggish performance by the rand are actually going to become an opportunity
for us to market the destination South Africa. So it's quite democratic. So that we can, among other things, not just job creation and then marketing, but also increase the foreign reserve opportunities for the entire economy. Because as more of them come because of the weakness of the rand, we are going to retain more oil reserves through the reserve bank. I want to suggest that if it's not there, we must consider introducing quality of service experience index so that market must not only be about what we have in the form of establishment, but it must also be about other variables that are in the space of tourism and other related activities, but from a quality perspective, as South Africans, what type of that we provide. My second proposal is on collaborative effort that we think we must get into as the portfolio committee with the Office of the Auditor General and COPA. So it will be the AG, the committee, ourselves, and COPA to do a combined focus on methods of wasteful footless and irregular expenditure, working with the department through your minister and focusing on you as a SAP. So it will be the department, the committee, COPA, and auditor general that we pay some attention to those related matters so that later we can get into the harvest period to harvest our efforts. Additional proposal. It's around the tourism month. I think we must drive the private sector to a point where they are going to agree that this is one sort of twice a year. Just like we do with Table Mountain, like the run to the Australia and entry into the park or for free. That our friends in the private sector must agree for that once a year there will be massive provision of free ride, free transport for people who are going to be engaging in tourism, with special focus on domestic tourism. Which means from a marketing perspective, FAT will have to work out a plan on how during September we are going to be doing that, and in them using their own resources, in addition to transport, to also do the marketing initiatives that they are going to be contributing to make South Africa a much, much better place to live during that month, and do aggressive marketing around that so that they contribute from the massive profit that they make to building South Africa through foreign. I'm sure we are also agreeing to the proposal. I don't know who made it. I think it's around having some kind of quasi-independent body that will be evaluating our targets, whether they comply with the smart criticism. Another proposal is around marketing the villages, the township, and the small towns. In the report it doesn't appear that are we setting aside some money to look at some villages and say this is what we want to market in this village, in this township and in this small town, and package all of them and make them one thing that we can also include as part of marketing. Not just international, so that the people from the cities and the metros can visit the villages, the townships, and the small towns. That's one proposal. In the conference-induced meetings, you spoke about it, we are also speaking about it, we support it, that we maybe must add as an element. Now, Minister, there's a matter of this protest. I know that SAT has not spoken about them, or maybe tourists have not raised, tourists have raised issues about land, about drought, about crime. But I think this element of protest, which are violent and so on, do contribute negatively to the perception about ourselves as a country. So I'm going to suggest that maybe some partnership between yourself and COP must come into play in as far as beginning to explain to our municipalities and communities that they meet with on a regular basis how protests, particularly that are accompanied by violence, contribute to negative perceptions about our country, particularly those particular areas. It's not just about tourism, it's also about investment. If you are going to be investing your money in a place that is perpetually under protest, the level of risk, the insurance is also going to say to you, no, but we are not going to finance to insure. The banks are going to say, we are not going to finance. Therefore, it has got an impact indirectly on also investments. And those investments may be on tourism-related establishments and so on. It makes it difficult for people to make those decisions. So I think some education to our municipalities and communities, and we urge councillors when they convene meetings to always drive the message home about stability. Will help. So I'm suggesting that we collaborate with COP on that, Honorable Minister. I also want to suggest that on promoting the small dog, SAT, if you, we've got 9 provinces, all of them have got some small dogs. If we speak to people who are involved in the economy of golf, and we say to them that the known faces, we want to, just 9 of you, will become the face of each one of these provinces, but just on call. Right? And your responsibility is to make sure that it is once a year, there is a massive golfing event that takes place in every small door. It's all out of that, because all of them are for golf course. And you use the face of this internationally known golf guys, the champions, to attract whoever they want to attract to those small towns. Now, those attractions to those golfing events are going to put pressure on municipalities, history, and ourselves to make sure that there's infrastructure equivalent to the challenge that we are going to be facing there. So, look at it, and let's talk about it next year. How far? You can just start talking to this guy. Gary Player has agreed in another forum to engage in that initiative so that we can succeed in rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of South Africa. These people who are abusing their plaques for crazy, coming from the grading council, that the place where it's going. I don't know if there are penalties, but if there are no penalties for such abuse, it's an ethical conduct. So I think we must introduce some penalties, I know some of those penalties, but suggest those penalties. There must be basic things that every establishment adheres to that is linked to the staff. So that if you don't comply, then there are penalties if you are found to be abusive and behaving in an unethical manner and establishment. Minister, I want to suggest that our colleagues in the executive, you must suggest to them that meetings and conferences and colloquiums and other things that are held by government, if they can begin to shift deliberately to go to the villages, the townships, and small towns as government, so that we move out of comfort of the big cities ourselves. Because if we so confident ourselves as government, through our meetings and everything else that we do, and we regularly hold those in those villages and townships and the small towns, confidence will grow and we will begin to be marketing ourselves indirectly those particular places. That's the logic of our meetings. So say we are going where through the website and so on. People are going to begin to ask questions, but where is this Mohala going? And why is government going to hold this meeting in Mohala Queen? So I'm suggesting that we'll try and do that so that we spend the little bit that we have in government, take it away from the city, and then take it to this area. And SAT, I hope you will be a reliable partner in that regard. The struggle to ensure that the entire executive, that's from national, province, district, metro, local, they hold their meetings in villages, townships, and small offices. This morning, as a committee, before the members agreed, we agreed that we are going to do the same. We are moving out of parliament now to do marketing. We will be going to a sort of promoting tourism as the portfolio committee to establishment outside parliament. Whatever meeting we hold of the committee will not only be here. So we'll be going somewhere. Township, small towns, Table Mountain, Townswood, whatever. So that's where we'll be going. So we lead by example, so that we lead beyond pure. So earlier on we addressed the CIPTEL and ATL. And Honorable Donald are supporting that we must do that. Yes. I want to suggest that in future when we meet, please indicate to us how you are collaborating with the Department of Communication and DERCO. Those two departments, Communication and DERCO, around marketing. Because if the SABC, for instance, was to make sure that they help in the marketing and not charge you a lot, but there will be something consistently coming for them at cost. So they're neither making profit nor making a loss. But help us to do marketing and all other activities you doing with radios. That type of an agreement. Therefore, one of the things I think we should be discussing with them is the trade agreement that we have with other countries around issues of cultural tourism, so that we can quantify all these agreements and ask DERCO what their role is in working with the tourism department to make sure that aggressive marketing takes place, so that we use the budget of DERCO to drive some of the things that we should be driving. So we do more lobbying, rational lobbying, of whoever is relevant to push this. We will need a prior year's audit findings kind of action, how we are going to deal with each one of them. Because I want to quote what the AG said here. Paragraph 35 in the report under other reports. I draw attention to the following engagement conducted by various parties that had or could not have an impact on the matters reported in the public entity financial statement reported. Performance information, compliance with applicable legislation, and other related networks. This report did not complete the infrastructure. This report of the auditor general, this report did not form part of my opinion on financial statements or my findings on the reported performance information or compliance with legislation. And I'm sure you will agree with us that it is a bit of a travesty of justice that we have a report, the basis of which we qualify, but at the same time, the Auditor General says this report is not form part of my opinion on the financial statements or my findings on the reported performance information or compliance with the legislation. So let's make sure going forward in the future that the Auditor General changes this paragraph so that it's in the positive in future. Those were my questions and proposals. So the opportunities to you now to respond. So this session, Minister of Responses, and so you can help it. I'm giving to you. Sure.
Thank you very much, Chen, Honourable Member, for the question input. On the comments, maybe an input will reflect upon them. I'm going to ask the colleagues to assist us in responding. We've got Darren here who will start with the issues that relate to the credit.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I have in my diary the 5th of November as the date when we will be coming back to the members to share with you the workings of the Tourism Grading Council. So if it is suitable, I've made a number of notes here on the different questions, and I think it would be very appropriate to make sure we cover all of that in that presentation. Things like cost, the support that we give to members using the National Department of Tourism's incentive program, and the penalties you spoke of, Chair, about illegal advertising, all of that I can address in the presentation. I think it would be a lot more valuable to debate that at length in that particular session. So if you're happy to continue like that, I should leave it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you,
Chair.
Can I request Amanda to assist us on the issues of the bill?
Thank you so much. I think I should say before and what my colleague said, but you know, before that we can go into detail on how we and what is the plan. So we definitely take it on the small board system. We already have a national association strategy. We launched it 2 weeks prior ago and had a lot of the professors and you know the academics in a room when we launched a 3-year program. We will support them to go to smaller places. So instead of just doing this support for international meetings, we are also doing this support so that we eventually can also then fit for the bigger international meeting or regional meeting that they are meeting. But the process, they all agreed on it, that we will support them with our provincial tourism authorities and convention bureaus, that we literally move them out of the cities and go to smaller places, and where they are not facilities, we will help to create the ability to have the food. Just as one program, there are other programs of course for us. When it comes to the smaller meetings, we are definitely encouraging that we move into I think the last time we spoke about the quarter that actually got, you know, some meetings in the first quarter that they won and that they did for. So that is basically one of our opportunities that we do. The other thing that I think just leads back to the next thing is that we also agree with these associations that they will move their meetings to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the reason for that is that we can link a weekend before or a weekend after, so that we can start to use these as catalysts for that. But I think the rest of the detail we can, in our engagement, I think it's the 18th of November.
Thank you. Thank you.
speak to also the issue of the target that is not met and the law.
Yeah, thank you so much for that as well. And we are definitely looking into new ways of that we can measure so that we don't have the same situation. We are working and will work close with AG as well to look at how can we overcome the issue of and I definitely take that from that we need to in our MOU and see something that we are implementing so that we can lean back to that number and that people are, you know, can give us that verified information. But it's definitely something that we are looking into.
I'm going to ask the audit chair to deal with the issues of the audit. I'm going to request that quite a number of issues around marketing will come in touch with marketing. But the audit chair has to answer to the audit.
Thank you, Minister. I think the issue on the members was about consequence management in terms of those findings and then what that happened after the investigation and so on and so forth. And maybe my starting point would be to say that part of the findings of the AG said, so there was a question on the recovery and so on and so forth, the reasons for the investigation. In that sense, there are no action plans, but for us, the critical point is that there are a few reports that we need to talk to. One of them is the first one, the woman report, which, while there's a process on the certain disciplinary process to damage or support and vacate, it's been identified. There are other parties that were part of the whole process. So that the disciplinary processes and the actions are comprehensive. We are fully aware of the implications of the public audit management amendment act 2018 in terms of what is expected of the accounting authorities to follow up and take the actions on the irregular expenditures and certain expenditures because the standard is not to what you're supposed to do. Then the debt certification will now account. So that's why we then need to make sure that we follow up to recover where we are supposed to recover. What then needs to happen is from an auditor's committee perspective, because the paper has already indicated that they are already in the process of a well-advanced in the process of drafting the action plan. So from our side, as we keep engaging, then the as far as the standing item and agenda to monitor the progress in those achievements with a view of intervening any if they are talking about the progress in the implementation there. Further to that, because from an AG report perspective, there are certain actions that are recommended for both the minister as well as the follow committee, will then have to make sure that those action plans are also presented here quarterly and weekly so that the committee members are appraised of how the question is done. From a poor performance perspective, we are also, through the HR and medical committee, going to be identifying the causes of those poor performance, leading up with the areas of the performance management system. And it's really that it's not action to not be able to achieve the targets for them.
Thank you very much. I think we move to the issues in terms of nation that we have a phone shop now. Make a phone to marketing and to take the issues of disability and
Thank you. And so the question around the internal decisions and whether we take into account representation of people with disabilities, at the end of March 2018 was sitting at 1.6%. We know that it's not adequate, and in no way we're saying it's adequate. But part of our recruitment process is that we do look at our employment equity plan to guide us on issues of representation of people with disabilities. So it's something that we track and we'll be able to report where we have vacancies so that we begin to prioritize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
to the question around stakeholder engagement as well, as to what is it that we're doing, we didn't perform on that. Like I said in the opening, we've now put together a stakeholder engagement framework. We have started already engaging with provinces. We have quarterly meetings with them. In the last engagement with the minister and NSC, as Minmec, we did undertake to do a joint planning session, which is happening on the 10th. This is honorable chair, to ensure that our plans are aligned and to ensure that we come up with a program. At least it's, you know, four or five key programs that we're going to jointly deliver. Who attends those provincial engagement sessions are the CEOs of provincial tourism authorities. We have chief marketing officers of those provinces, as well as officials who deal with businesses and communities as a country. From other stakeholders, from a private sector point of view, we have strengthened our relationship through the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. We have an MOU with them. We have a quarterly engagement with their board and their marketing committee. But over and above that, we've identified critical projects that we're delivering together. One of that is the Global Roadshow, where we engage trains to ensure that we up our game from an arrivals point of view. So from a stakeholder engagement point of view, we have to ensure that we turn around the situation, because we want to be able to deliver that. Minister, there was a question about what is management doing on issues of governance. From a management point of view, I need to mention that we've strengthened our governance risk and compliance capability as management. Over and above that, we called for an independent review of the functioning of our internal audit internally, from an independent service provider. We've received that report. We're implementing the recommendations. And part of the recommendations is that we've got to come up with a combined assurance model, which we are now putting together for our consideration by our audit committee. We've also strengthened some of the management policies, so that on a monthly basis we have a risk, compliance and governance internal committee that reports into that, so to deal with issues of audit, issues of irregular expenditure and other issues around compliance with legislation. We welcome the idea of looking at our performance and ACP so that we can review targets before submission to the portfolio committee. I think it's a good suggestion, and it will go through. Also, there was a question around what are we doing from an overseas a plan to counter a performance. We have put together this supercharged report, and back. Key issues, which I think from a brand point of view, the CMO will talk to, was said that one of the things that we've got to do is to identify those key markets. We've done that. We've sort of influenced that. We are monitoring that. And in those seven markets, we focus on specific niche markets. Honorable Chair, you were mentioning issues of golf. Golf is another area that we've looked at as a niche. We've looked at millennial travel, because it's young people. Studies show us that most of our arrivals from particularly these key seven markets is between the ages of 18 and 32. So we've got to look at how do we market to them as millennials, what platforms do they source information so that we are here from a content point of view. So that's one thing that we're doing. There's a big issue around private sector pricing, which I believe that the chair will speak to, which is an issue that is coming up now and then, because the chair alluded to the fact that we've got to look at the performance of our rent and come up with technical opportunities where we're going to market. There's a huge debate internationally around how South Africans price themselves outside the market. And it's a matter that we've raised yesterday with private sector. I had an engagement yesterday with private sector and together with civil sector. So it's a matter which we're taking back to private sector to play, because we don't influence pricing, but we can only give them feedback as to what are some of the barriers that we are faced with. Another issue is around product availability. We have been told part of the feedback from the Global Roadshow is that also trade internationally. I'm tired of saying the very same thing. And they do mention that
they're not comfortable selling any other things because their partners in market, meaning their partners in South Africa, are not giving them, you know, the diversified product. So there's an issue around product availability, training of these products, making sure that they're market ready, but also encouraging private sector in South Africa to be able to package those products. So those are some of the things that we're doing to look at how do we deal with overseas arrivals. But most importantly, which is the last one, how do we partner with airlines? Chair also mentioned the issue around the rent. When the rent is favorable, we're able to actually push deal-driven campaigns with airlines because the biggest cost to get into South Africa is an airline cost. So if we get to that, we're able to drive those deals with airlines and people take care and they see value for money. So that's the other thing that we need to consistently educate our trade partners in market. So once they get to South Africa, we're not a cheap destination, but we're a value for money destination. You get more for your rent. The other thing before I hand it over back to the minister was around what are the things that we do, the practical things which take from the whole thing. So we've got two areas. We look at the consumer work that we're doing in the trade. In market, we have to ensure that obviously from a research point of view and insights, we know who's coming here and we know that who are we targeting. So we've got consumer campaigns that we do in markets, in all the 44 markets in which we operate within. And it's largely a 360 campaign where we use media, we use digital media, we use activation, we use influencers to actually position the destination. Can we do more? I think so. I think it's an area that we are looking at and say, how do we ensure that we are in the platforms in which our consumers are taking information? Most importantly in markets, most importantly in markets, from a trade point of view, we do a couple of things. We still have a big trade training job because, Chair and Honourable Members, our trade partners will not sell a destination that they don't know. So as ethnic tourism, we take that accountability and that responsibility to train the trade in markets to sell South Africa and how to, package South Africa. How do we train them? Through workshops, through roadshows, but we do send trips as well. What are send trips? We bring them into South Africa and let them experience these things that we're talking about. And mainly, largely, it's product and experience because we believe that our tourists do not come to sit in an accommodation. They come for an experience of a destination. So it's a combination of building itineraries and exposing our trade to this itinerary. But over and above that, Honourable Member raised an issue of trade platforms. We have two of our own, which is Indana and Meetings Africa. We bring those buyers, to bring travel agents, to bring trade partners to these platforms. But also we take our products, which is experiences, tour operators, destination marketing companies, and accommodation into trade platforms internationally, ITC, WTM, and so forth. I think we have about 7, if not 8 of those. So those are some of the things that we deal with, which Honourable Chair, we're happy to come back when we get a date, where we talk about issues of brand management and marketing, so that we take the committee into greater detail as to what we're doing in the market. And then we will hand it over back to there was an issue raised by the AG on executive leadership, in terms of providing executive leadership, providing assurance. It's a matter that we're taking note of, and we are going to fix. How are we going to fix that? We're going to look at how do we put an engagement plan for AG, so that we don't engage with them at the end of the financial year during all the time. But during the course of the year, we're able to take them into our confidence, and we do actually use the advice and services that we can provide. So those are some of the areas that we will tackle with this audit agenda. And it is linked back to how we strengthen governance as management. So those monthly meetings, we'll be able to feed back to them and have better engagement sessions.
Thank you. Therefore, the issues that we raised about the addition of existing personnel, the question of the first time in the sharing, and the social media. Yeah.
under pressure from Che or whoever, the repeat bandings or not, the variation as a volume of orthosteric is in the banding is a part of the openly balanced exchange variation. But the key difference in the two is that in the previous year, it was addition of services to a quarter balance system, whereas in the current year, the quarter flows were there from the beginning. So at this stage, the quarter flows are there in the layering of the exercise. So the key difference, previous financial year, we added services, current financial year, the flows are there from the beginning.
I think that the audit committee chair did touch on the media action going forward. That's what it is. Let me give over to Chief Marketing Office on the marketing issues. The
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. A couple of things before I go into the actual issues. I was with South African Tourism 2003 to 2006 when there was a tourism boom and when a lot of the work that has sustained tourism over the last couple of years, you know, was being established. So it is an honor that I receive with great humility to be able to serve again in this capacity. And I do not take it lightly. I realize that tourism is not an issue of inviting people to have holidays. It is about the economic transformation of our people. And it is a great responsibility on our show. I thought I should just preface my comments with that. The first thing is that at the time when the original work was being done, it was being done at the time when the iPhone didn't exist, the iPad didn't exist, Twitter didn't exist, Facebook didn't exist, and a lot of the work that was established then was built for a brand that exists in a traditional media space, in a traditional way in which to find out about destinations and buy and travel to destinations. The single biggest thing that I believe we are focusing on going forward is that we now live in a digital society. Everything is digital. And we have to transform the way in which we build our marketing effort going forward for a digital society. And that fundamental shift also means that we've got to look at trends that are happening around us that are coming with the millennial market, which is going to become the future of the travel market between now and the year 2030, by which time we need to be delivering the 21 million targets that have been set. So there's a major shift in terms of that approach, and I just thought I should put this again. Our focus to say that there will be a lot more digital marketing orientation and a lot more new thinking that we have to bring into the way in which we engage. The second thing is that looking at how we build the propositions that we send out into the market, which the Honorable Member Kumbi was mentioned earlier about how do we market local, you know, small cities, small towns, villages, and maybe attractions that might not be part of the bigger platform. We have six very clear platforms that we have developed, which are adventure, wildlife, city life, cultural diversity, breathtaking scenery, and sun-soaked coasts. And that those platforms have been built so that we can aggregate our marketing. As my boss, the good acting CEO, has mentioned, we will be meeting with the provincial teams tomorrow, so the provincial tourism authorities, and also with the cities, the big, you know, some of the cities. And the whole idea about getting collaboration and being able to market some of those attractions is to get the proof points for those six platforms at localized level. But that can only come through the collaboration. And that is why we're having these engagements beginning tomorrow. On the 19th of November, I believe that we have a date for us to come and present the marketing investment framework and our marketing model. And if it is okay with the Honorable Chair and the members, I'd like to go into a lot more detail at that time in terms of the specifics of what we are going to be doing. But let me just assure, you know, the committee that everything that has been raised here is being taken on board very seriously. Everything that has been raised here will be incorporated into thinking going forward. And if there's a reason not to carry it forward, valid feedback will be given as to why maybe it cannot be done now, maybe at a later time. But everything has been taken on board. Coming to just finally on collaborative marketing, it is important, you know, to look at the big drive periods of each market, the big events that happen in each territory, and to see how to leverage those. But the partnerships that we need to look at have to be where us as a country gain an advantage, rather than where somebody else brings a proposal to us, and then we simply respond to that. So part of what we're building now is building a very proactive collaborative approach, where we look at who we need in order for us to achieve our objective, and us being proactive about approaching them, rather than simply responding to what people bring to us. Not being blind to that, because all of that to stay open, but we need to be a lot more proactive in terms of how we look, so that we go to a collaborative platform with our agenda clear as to what we want out of it. And that, as well, is part of what we will present to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. But on behalf of the Marketing Committee, as my colleague, the CMO, said, and let me just say how pleased we are to have him on board. You can see he's got a lot of experience. We have noted all the comments. We have, as a committee, we've also been discussing how we partner effectively, how we ensure that there's marketing effectiveness and return on investment in everything we do, how we set the agenda more deliberately, which I think is what she's here to say, in terms of the marketing activities. So there are a range of questions we've raised, reports we've got, insights we're discussing with management, they're doing work in this area. One of the things that has changed the FAC in the last probably year and a half there, is that we have an enhanced strategic research unit with more capacity that can start doing some more of the deeper work around insights and moving away just from the data and statistics. But the data and statistics can only be so much important to track performance, but you actually need to know what they mean. So there is work being done on that, and we'll also get involved with the marketing committee together with ARCO at looking at the SMART targets, which have been raised by a number of members, and we appreciate that too. And there is a balancing act to be found between having kind of a high level objectives that are aligned with state of nation, but also the things we can control. And we need to make sure that we can control some of the more of the measures that we have, and that we can also provide the right kind of evidence that suits the AG and others. So thank you. Thanks, Minister.
Thank you. Thank you for a very five pages of notes, so it was a really insightful interaction. Thank you for that. I think the team has covered most of the questions that have come up. I just want to reiterate one or two of them. The one relates to the consequences of some of the irregular expenditure. And I just want to assure you that we will not leave it at due process ending and leaving it there. I think you were very vociferous about making sure that we deal with any offenders in the most appropriate way, and that we shall be, and I give you our assurance that we will do it. So if there's any requirements for us to report cases in terms of the Prevention of Corrupt Activities Act, I assure you that we will do that. From an audit point of view, I think the regression is something that we don't yet like. You know, Sia and I have spoken, and I think that we don't really want to use this audit as the basis of anything going forward. We want to make sure that we get the best possible scores, we get the best possible results, and it's certainly, it's not a result that we don't want to come here and produce mediocre results to you, because for us to achieve some of the targets that we've set, the actions can't be mediocre. And I think, you know, in terms of that, if we're going to create a high-performance culture, high-performance organization, non-performance is going to be dealt with as part of that. You can't be part of a high-performance organization not achieving your KPIs and still be part of that system. You are going to be followed by default. I just want to assure you in terms of the CEO matter. So there's a perception that there have been delays, and I want to show you that they haven't. We as a board, as late as last week, went and looked at the timeline, but between us getting, you know, approval for deviations and for some of the spending that we had to incur, and the interviewing of witnesses, there were 34 witnesses that were interviewed. So it wasn't a sort of a quick process. So there hasn't been a delay to getting where we are now. The slight delay between phase one and phase two is because of the availability of the CEO's legal representative, who is no longer, who had a break for 2 weeks. So it is in everyone's interest for us to deal with that swiftly, but it's absolutely critical, as I mentioned earlier, to deal with it in a transparent and fair and open manner. So, you know, trust me, we want to deal with it as swiftly as for all parties concerned. You know, the organization does need to, and you made a very valid point, sir, when you said when everybody's acting, you're always going to have that element of, you know, is everybody operating at the optimal levels that they possibly can. So it is something that we are very cognizant of, and we, as much as you do, want the board and the organization to stabilize and stabilize quickly, because there's lots of work to be done to achieve the targets that we've set ourselves. So I just wanted to give you some assurance more than anything else. I think from an oversight point of view, as a board, we're very focused on achieving the results that we need to. I believe that there's a bunch of very passionate people that are reflective of this industry and what we need to achieve in this industry, and to get valuable insights of what's actually happening. So I think, you know, we've got people there. We are accountable to the minister and to yourselves, and we hold ourselves accountable to ourselves as well. So we want to achieve, we want to deliver, and we want to be able to perform our role as an oversight and give the team at SAT the right guidance, the right help and assistance for us to deliver on what is a sector that is critical to our country's growth. And again, from a transparency point of view, I think, you know, we want to be able to come here and say it's open cards with you. There's absolutely nothing that we... And it was a really good... You know, for me personally, the guidance that we got from you is absolutely amazing. So thank you for that. And it's really encouraging to know that we can come and engage with you and be able to walk back with some really tangible, good quality engagement to go back and help us enhance what we're doing at the board. I think I've covered everything else. I'm going to hand over to the minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. Indeed, quite a lot of issues that have been raised are noted, and as well myself. They're quite to those that are directed to me. And maybe just to indicate, honourable member, we did not respond to the issue of actually, and we had to that we didn't respond to the so-called fund issue, because in the capacity as member, otherwise we'll be accused
of promoting other establishments in other countries, you would get into trouble with but I'm just raising it formally so that even in the future we take cognizance of that. Honourable, I would want to know in detail what the issue is around the room, fortunately, we can just give me details for some. Then sometimes we find that when you buy a home and the issues of insurance and everything, I'm not sure what that is about, maybe if you can, so that we can look at it ourselves, if you can give me that detail, I'll personally look into it directly. Chair, you've raised quite a number of issues and members have raised, I think, where issues relating to provinces and municipalities, because we have a movement myself.
That's okay. But it's about buying. When you, before you buy the boat, you must take that money, that much. Yeah. But they will explain that outside the difference of, I don't know, they are allowed to.
No, sir.
Okay, Chair, just to ask this, it was around this Mahalito wetland whereby the participants that you were wanting to participate in that space needed to have around 1.5 million to be able to operate the boat that are there. But the introduction of the tourism transformation fund was also looking into assisting those that want to participate to say the very same money that is in that space can assist those that want to pension those folks so that it works as a guarantor for them. So it's something that the department has introduced measures to mitigate against those that do not have that kind of money.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm glad to be here. So we want to that now, Chair, you spoke about the issues of protest and how they impact on the friends. And I think quite constantly recently, maybe it's not maybe in March, and it should come in the next financial year, and it does impact on us. When, for example, any negative reporting that happens, that particular area gets affected. That's for example. We've seen it with the water issue in the Western Cape, we saw it here. So the violent protests, I mean, preliminary, we had people who were cancelled in Gauteng and others were on board to wait and see what will happen. So that does affect. And that's why from cabinet point of view, there was an issue that let's put together an envoy to go to those countries. We must be seen as government actively. Saying this is where we stand and all those things, clarifying the issues in the public domain. If they get out immediately, know they have a long-term impact. So we constantly have to work on the grand issues, and we are in discussion together with the grand essay to be able to find. So one of the things long-term, we are engaging them with the president to say how to make sure that constantly we have that engagement. So when we are in the chair, we'll come back and say this is how we are looking at it, but it is on our staff. We have to respond to it, not only at SAT level, but from, because sometimes the message is delayed from the political point of view, leadership. So we're looking at that continuously, and we're seeing the message. And Minister of Tech actually was quite helpful even in the communication, in the videos that were circulating across the embassy. That really, she did a thing work around that, that helped us. The issue of collaboration, provinces and municipalities, we've agreed with the provinces, we're going to work together to support each other, and including one of the things where we have Salga sitting in our neck, but one of the things we said we need to broaden, because we raise this constant when we go to municipalities, we find the issue of tourism is like a sentence in ADD, the children. So we want to expand that. So we continue to work, we're taking one step at a time so that we don't gallop and end up making a lot of mistakes. So we want to make sure that that collaboration. And we think the district model is helping us as a commission because it allows us to focus in the district. We've seen with the three now that have been piloted, as a department, we are now forced to look at those municipalities. What is it that we are doing in those districts? So we submit the report and also as we reflect them, we start making the plan. So it is assisting us. Now, Chair, quite a number of issues we will continue to engage. I've said to the team together with even TK, we have to have a principal acquaintance here, the one to come back. They've worked on some of the things that still are teaching me through. But the issue, for example, of aggressive marketing for domestic children is highlighted. It's a problem. Whether it's Easter, it's December, for example, we've agreed that we're going to launch this year a festive season campaign, Chair, as we had when we said in KZN. Because we're saying that it's an opportunity every time for us to be able to. So the team is working on those various activities for next year to say, these are the campaigns that we're running and all those things. So we think we'll be able to respond positively towards campaigning and training around not only just the Black Five honorable members, but across the country. We need to find prominent, the hidden gems that are sitting there that we should be able to approach for everybody to know. South Africa is very diverse, and therefore every experience that we are able to provide for our tourists, both locally and internationally, is important. So we have people, if you look at us, people have one experience different things. But what we know for sure that people want authenticity. So we provide that in South Africa. We provide real time experience in diversity that we have, a product that we have. So that, as we continue, Chair, we'll be able to give you in terms of our plans going forward. As we come with our strategic plan and we come up with our APP, we'll see going forward in the impact clarity of what we want to do. This one is more important than past, and therefore we say going forward, this is what we do. Now, assurance in terms of the board resignation has to account to the committee. As I arrived as a minister, I received first resignation of a member expressing that due to being running a campaign that is demanding a lot of time now, the member requested to be released, which I agreed to looking at because the new campaign needs a lot of energy, we know in entrepreneurs. Like that's what you have to put on. Then the second member was on the Mentor Savant Conflict of Interest, saying that because he's now the CEO of SAFA and sits on TBCSA, and therefore sitting on the board was starting to feel a bit uncomfortable because of the clashes, so he requested to leave. Then coming to the deputy chair, her resignation says she believes that she served her term over years within the sector. Almost in 5 years it's time to change and give fresh ideas and give an opportunity for new people. With the chair of the board, we both agreed, she offered to step down, I agreed. So this was on the basis that I believed when we did the analysis, Chair, that the entity where it is now needs a person who's able to give it more time, more attention, focus. And including even in issues of attending to meetings like this one, as we said last time. So those were the things that when we engaged myself and him, she offered to say, because of those requirements, or fulfilling those requirements of obligations that were there, for a person who holds a chair position. And that's why when she offered to step down, she remained as a board member because there is possibility when you are a board member and when you are chair, assistant, it's on those things. I thought it's important for me to clarify that. Thank you very much, Chair. And if possible, Chair, can I request to be excused? I need to run to the meeting. Thank
you. I'm not asking you. Well done. I think now we'll talk about it. We forget about our opportunity, it's just about it. You are manipulating them, like that company is manipulating the speech rate. But okay, Minister, thank you very much. What is the motion? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Minister. The
Yes, we have that problem. Thank you. I think the rest part was closer. Chair of the ethics and chairing the internet. Robben Island has had the experience of 3,000 trips. But the problem is that we are not telling 3,000 stories about Robben Island. It's not your fault. It's people who manage the destination and the strategy around the destination. We will have to find a way working together through some of that something to make sure that we have got 3,000 stories about each one of the prisoners who went to Robben Island, told. And my interest is that the story must not just be about the time they spent at Robben Island. It's their origin, where each one of them comes from. Right? And say where they come from, how they got involved, until they got arrested, they went from the tribe, arrested tribe, convicted, and then sent to Robben Island. So the focus is at the end. We are not focusing at the beginning and the in between what they actually happened. It means there are 3,000 opportunities to push marketing from a certain perspective around Robben Island, so that people must know that Robben Island is not just that little piece of land in the middle of it. But Robben Island linked to living human beings. It's about their struggles, where they were, and what propelled them to engage in struggle, and how they got arrested, and beyond Robben Island, where are those people, what are they doing? And so that these 3,000 people, because they are a diminishing collective, they are 3,000, the number can increase. You have had only 3,000 people arrested there. So one day we are going to be left with one remaining person, Robben Island, one. I don't know how many people, 3,000, but the number is decreased. So that society can be aware that there are this collective of 10,000, the number is diminishing. What are they doing now? So that we go along with society towards the end of each one of those people who are forever with Adam's life. And that becomes a story heavily for the future, from a marketing perspective for future generations. Social responsibility is in agriculture, right? So where we are now, we will speak to the portfolio committee on sports, arts, and culture. So we have beautiful ideas from all the beauty, who is the chair there. We'll engage him about also sports tourism, cultural tourism. Education is really about age tourism, science tourism, all those tourism related activities and that. So that when you do your supercharged fighting fight execution of the strategy, we don't leave these other elements out of the equation. So we'll help you to push, because we are patriots and it must push this out of the garden to move forward. So we'll help where we can. To do that. Please attend to this matter of 56% performance versus PMBS. Because now we'll always say main donors are higher than that. Because they want the PMBS. And when we say to them, let's discuss performance, will be the most unpopular board
to the union member. If you do the right thing, they will say yes. In principle, we are going to be 10 years, but let's start from the beginning. And we have now elected 56%. What do we do? So you'll have to become a bit of an unpopular leader there. Because the real leadership are fearless, and they are not afraid to be unpopular, to be criticized, and to be castigated, because they are real leaders. So you'll have to do that. To move from 56% to 90, 95, 98, and there's no time. The financial year is ending in March. Well, November, December, January, February, it's 4 months, 6.5, because half of the 4 we must be sleeping, right, to recharge. So we've got 2 months to turn around everything. We'll help you so that we can support 80-90%, but I can tell you now you are going to face the resistance. Other people are going to say the things are better. They think they're clever, they want the incentives, and when they're actually not giving us, and so on. So the budget can't remain the same, and the performance is a bit problematic. So do that. We will send you this way forward of 12 points that we have agreed here. Next week we are adopting that board. And the committee for yesterday and today. So as soon as we adopt the report legally, it becomes binding. So as soon as we have adopted it, it's gone through the necessary processes within Parliament, it will be legally binding. It will now be resolutions of the committee. So as soon as this has gone through all the processes, and we will send them to meet the DG and the interim chairperson, then we'll all be accountable on those. So they will constitute some of your deliverables that will be expected as a committee. But other than that, you can see we are nice in tourism. You can see that we are not over excessively aggressive people. We are very measured in our approach. We are very sensitive to the need for us to maintain a nice rapport without compromising the central mandate of accountability between yourselves and ourselves. Otherwise, let's enjoy following and make it exciting for everybody. But in this office, we thank you for your attentive listening, incisive, focusing on this matter that you have been dealing with. So we thank you very much for that and the patience that you have displayed in waking up as the committee, SAT, collective, new entrants in the team and so on. Yesterday we're talking about cadets. New players, medal dog, new scratches, new approach, parent is tweaking the strategy, so you know.
The simple accent.